I can't pretend I didn't feel afraid so many years ago when the door of my apartment here at the Waldorf Towers closed behind me for the first time. But New York is an exciting city. Before long, it came to feel at least as much a home to me as Guillaume ever did. In fact, as I look back, the memories of many long weeks I've spent here with the chairman have made my life in the United States even richer in some ways than it was in Japan. My little tea house on the second floor of an old club off Fifth Avenue was modestly successful from the very beginning. A number of geisha have come from Guillaume to work with me there, and even Mameha sometimes visits. Nowadays, I go there myself only when close friends or old acquaintances have come to town. I spend my time in a variety of other ways instead. In the mornings, I often join a group of Japanese writers and artists from the area to study subjects that interest us, such as poetry or music or, during one month-long session, the history of New York City. I lunch with a friend most days, and in the afternoons, I kneel before my makeup stand to prepare for one party or another, sometimes here in my very own apartment. When I lift the brocade cover on my mirror, I can't help but remember the milky odor of the white makeup I so often wore in Guillaume. I dearly wish I could go back there to visit, but on the other hand, I think I would be disturbed to see all the changes. When friends bring photographs from their trips to Kyoto, I often think that Guillaume has thinned out like a poorly kept garden, increasingly overrun with weeds. After mother's death a number of years ago, for example, the Nitta Okia was torn down and replaced with a tiny concrete building housing a bookshop on the ground floor and two apartments overhead. 800 geisha worked in Guillaume when I first arrived there. Now the number is less than 60, with only a handful of apprentices, and it dwindles further every day. Because, of course, the pace of change never slows, even when we've convinced ourselves it will. On his last visit to New York City, the chairman and I took a walk through Central Park. We happened to be talking about the past, and when we came to a path through the pine trees, the chairman stopped suddenly. He'd often told me of the pines bordering the street outside Osaka on which he'd grown up. I knew, as I watched him, that he was remembering them. He stood with his two frail hands on his cane, and his eyes closed, and breathed in deeply the scent of the past. "Sometimes," he sighed, "I think the things I remember are more real than the things I see."